Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show.tv. And this is not so much a Common Sense Show.tv broadcast. This is a bonus given to that network. This is something that we are doing for other sites we're on, but it is so important that Doug and I did today discuss this, and we said we need to put it out everywhere. So this is standard for heroes and so forth, and we're going to run it through all our venues because this is a red alert, and we'll get to that in just a minute. First of all, need to let you know Mike Lindell very generously extended our sale, 2 for 1. In fact, actually, you can get the slippers now. They were $89, now they're $38, but a lot of the stuff's 2 for 1, 50% off. MyPillow.com/Hodges with the coupon code Hodges. And I'll tell you, best deal out there. Best deal out there. Jump on it. In my early days of working in this field, I was horrified with FEMA camp legislation, and I almost obsessed on it. And people said, oh, you're seeing conspiracy theories. We are moving in the direction of forced incarceration for people with the wrong political views. And I've been calling for it since I had the late Larry Grathwall on, who died under very mysterious circumstances. And Larry was an informant for the FBI who penetrated the Weatherman Underground, Bill Ayers. And Bill Ayers started Barack Obama's political career in his Hyde Park, Chicago home. These people were avowed communists. They were called the baby red diapers, and that was their nickname because they were communists, well-to-do communists. Bill Ayers' dad was the head of Con Ed, and they wanted to overthrow the government, and their movement is close to succeeding. Larry Grathwall, on my show, and I have published this several times, he actually got Bill alone one time, and remember, he was working for the FBI, and he said to Ayers, what will you do when you win? And Bill Ayers hesitated, and he said, well, we'll probably have to put 50 million Americans in re-education camps, and we'll have to do away with over half of them. Now, at that time, the population of the country was about 160 million. We're double that now, more than double that. If we're going to get into Trump supporters and people who do not support this tyrannical government, we're probably talking a minimum of 100 million people. And we're going to, if you think, Dave, you're going right for the conspiratorial paranoid viewpoint, you think they're coming after to kill 100 million people. After you hear, I know, have an idea of what Doug's bringing in. He hasn't shared with me the details, but I kind of know what he's probably discovered. And combined with what I have researched for 15 years, PDD 50, okay? When you hear these things and you hear the latest developments involving what this government is doing, there'll be no question that you'll realize they are coming for you. I think the digital coin introduction will be the kickoff time for this. But we'll see what Doug thinks. Doug, we've been busy today. This is a big turning point for our country.
Yeah, it is. The raid on Mar-a-Lago has really, I guess you could say, stepped up the heat for the fires that the Democrats are putting underneath their own asses to try and get Trump out of office completely, thoroughly, forever, and then to start affecting anyone who becomes like a Donald Trump or supporters thereof. By that, it's been circulating all over Twitter and other forms of the internet today and social media that Trump should be charged with espionage, that Trump should be charged as a domestic terrorist, that he should be executed. I saw that numerous times. Hey, did you know that's a federal crime to call for the death of a president?
Not in this day and age. I'll just say this. Hunter Biden transferred the coronavirus with Devin Archer on Air Force Two, and it led to the deaths of how many millions of people worldwide, how many hundreds of thousands of people in America. Don't see him. He gets paid off by the communist Chinese, and the big guy, Daddy Biden, dementia daddy, he's getting 10% of this take. Okay, and they're our avowed enemy who repeatedly threatened to nuke us. Who should be executed? Anyone who's guilty of treason should be executed. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, just for the sake of brevity, and maybe this will carry on through other conversations that we may have together or that you may have with other guests, I just want to give some definitions that are possibly what's going to be used in a charge against Donald Trump. And once again, this will be so that he can't run to affect the whole MAGA community. And that threat of labeling half the country as a terrorist could come to fruition with what I'm going to discuss. Now, before I get into that, former National Intelligence Director did say that President Trump has the ultimate declassification authority, and that he also had already labeled the 20 or so boxes of classified material to be declassified before he had left. And then occasionally there is some material that the National Archives, by federal law, says you can't hold on to that. It has to be obtained and held within a certain security posture of a federal building. Now, from what I know, that was already understood, and that was already in the works and being dealt with 2 months prior to the FBI showing up and raiding Mar-a-Lago. The FBI actually instructed Trump's legal attorneys to place a security device, a lock, over the safe that they had. So they had already came and inspected the area where it was. So for one thing, that means they already knew where the evidence was that they're looking for. Why did they have to go through everything? All right. I would be, if I were President Trump, I'd have that entire area of Mar-a-Lago swept for cameras and listening devices. But hey, this isn't the 60s, man. They can go through your phone now. So let's get into some definitions, Dave, and stop me if you have any questions. All right, right off the bat, I want to give you some basic definitions so that everybody is on the same page of what could happen in a federal court, federal charges by the federal government. And by the way, my name's Doug Thornton. I used to work for DHS, so you know I kind of have a little bit of a
Doug and Dave Intel Report. Yep, exactly. Yep.
All right, terrorism definitions. International terrorism, violent criminal acts committed by individuals and or groups who are inspired by or associated with designated foreign terrorist organizations or nations that are state-sponsored. Domestic terrorism is violent or criminal acts committed by individuals or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences, such as those of political, religious, social, racial, or environmental laws or nature. So obviously domestic wise is what they'll be going after, and they'll be using that for the political basis, the domestic influence. Espionage law. Two federal acts have been passed to establish the definition of espionage and impose penalties: the Espionage Act of 1917 and the Economic Espionage Act of 1996. The Espionage Act of 1917 establishes strict penalties for those who engage in spying to impede U.S. military efforts and or give aid to foreign enemies. Behaviors prohibited by the Espionage Act include obtaining any information related to national defense with the intent or the information to be used to advantage a foreign nation or to injure the United States, or the belief the information will be used in this way. Under 18 U.S. Code Section 794, the information may be obtained from virtually any source, including but not limited to documents obtained legally or illegally, people, visits to docs or research labs or other locations, blueprints, and photographs. You can also be charged with this offense if you are grossly negligent and lose information, allow it to be removed from its proper place, or fail to report the illegal removal.
You mean like take it home on your computer?
Yeah, 33,000 times that can hurt the military.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Obama did the same thing. He took on over 30,000 pages of documents that also included nuclear information. Hillary did the same thing with all of her servers and paying people from Pakistan who had a connection to the Taliban to do the same thing.
Oh, Wasserman Schultz. That's who you're talking about there. Yeah, right.
That's
Okay.
Right. Photographing and sketching of defense installations that pertain to us here. Using an aircraft to photograph defense installations or publishing or selling photographs that doesn't pertain to us. Disclosure of classified information. Codes section 798 prohibits intentional and willful sharing of classified information in any manner that is of interest to foreign governments or when sharing could be detrimental to the U.S. interests. So in good faith, I will say that the current government would probably use section 798 for saying that Trump could mishandle or could use this information to thwart the United States or Joe Biden because they believe he lost the presidency. He started the riot for Capitol, the Capitol riot for January 6th and the insurrection, and potentially share it with enemies. They mean Russia or domestic enemies, meaning militias. All right. Penalties for espionage. Penalties for espionage vary depending on the offense. For gathering or losing defense information under Code Section 793, Hillary Clinton should face 10 years of incarceration in a federal prison. If you are convicted of gathering and delivering defense information in order to aid a foreign government, Debbie Wasserman Schultz should be sentenced to life in prison or face a death sentence. Economic espionage can also lead to 15 years of imprisonment and a fine of up to $5 million. We have already had people who have met the threshold of espionage within the last 10 years. Nothing has happened to them. And there's a reason. There's like a First Amendment kind of loophole there. And then it falls upon the definition of the FBI and then the Department of Justice to continue further prosecution and saying, well, they were extremely negligent and we give them a pass, or we find that their interests were not negligent and were actually malicious and therefore proceed with prosecution. Now, anyone within the Obama administration at that point in time that could have been connected with espionage or treason got the pass.
Eric Holder.
Because we have the exact same people in charge again, now they view anyone on the right or a conservative or against them or Donald Trump and his supporters as the Espionage Act and Treason Act. They could potentially charge Trump with this. Now, if Trump is defined as a terrorist, and I know I just jumped way ahead of a lot of other people, but let's just go ahead and throw this out there, because trust me, Dave, at what they're saying right now, I believe this is coming. If Trump is defined as a terrorist, then these laws may pertain to his current case. So these are the federal laws on terrorism. 18 U.S. Code 2339A, providing material support to terrorists. The term material support or resources means any property, tangible or intangible, or service, including currency or monetary instruments, or financial securities, financial services, lodging, training, expert advice or assistance, safe houses, false documentation or identification, communications equipment, facilities, weapons, lethal substances, explosives, personnel, one or more individuals who may be or include oneself, and transportation except medicine or religious materials. The term training means instruction or teaching designed to impart a specific skill as opposed to a general knowledge. And three, the term expert advice or assistance means advice or assistance derived from scientific, technical, or other specialized knowledge. So take in part that if you have in your possession critical information of a national security level to include potential codes or access to nuclear weapons or nuclear facilities that are not disclosed to the public, and you twist that just a little bit, you could say that somebody could give expert advice or assistance to our enemy.
First of all, they've already said there were no nuclear codes involved.
That's what they're saying. But the left keeps saying it, the right keeps disavowing it. Trump disavowed it. His attorney disavowed it. The Department of Justice has it.
Well, you know, let me jump ahead.
Go ahead.
And then I'll tell you why they're doing what they're doing, in my opinion. Trump will never see a day in jail. He may see a day in the courtroom, but this will be appealed to the Supreme Court, and they'll see it for what it is and throw it out. But here's why they're doing it. They want to interrupt his momentum and destroy his reputation on the way to 2024.
Absolutely.
This is all political. He's not going to jail. And I'm just going to repeat what I have said a thousand times now in the last week. He is the decider on what was classified. And it's his word versus theirs, whether he declassified. You can do it verbally. You don't have to put labels on it like I'm hearing. You can say, this is all declassified. He was the decider. They have no case, but they're going to make a case.
Exactly. And what I'm going over are the elements of the case that they will try to use.
I would agree with you, but this is all bullshit. This is
It
nothing.
is. It's a witch hunt. Everything against Donald Trump has been a witch hunt. And if you are a supporter of Donald Trump, or if you're Donald Trump himself and you are listening to this, because I'm sure he's a fan of us, and you got to know, they will do everything in their power to take down anybody who is against the establishment, the deep state, the corrupt, evil people that run our country. And everything I just said puts me on another watch list for DHS.
Well, I'm going to just repeat a quote, and I've said it many times, but it's apropos for this situation now. It was going on 2.5 months ago. Nancy Pelosi had a tape of her played on Fox News. There's no dispute. She said, if the Republicans win the midterm, we will not honor the election results because they'll destroy democracy. That's a quote. What she's saying is, we're not leaving office. You would have to make us leave office. And this takes me back to the comment that really represents desperation. And I said this the other night on our TV show, Doug. I said that if they can't indict him successfully and wreck his chance for becoming the president, they are going to assassinate him. That's a fact. You look at history, you follow, we went through John Kennedy. You go through that. He is a marked man. There is no way Donald Trump will be the president of the United States.
Let me give you my idea on this. They will now use social media and the mainstream media as the war engine machine that it is to generate as much false news on Trump, and to carry everything that the government is doing with weight, and then to just throw everything else away. And that is the true power of mainstream media. That's what Joseph Goebbels is smiling in his grave over right now.
Raw
But here.
story. Let me read this real quick. This is a pop-up news item that somehow attached itself to my computer. Gives me the temperature. I click it on, and other than the weather report, it gives me news, and it's extremely liberal. Something called raw news. I've never raw story. I've never heard a raw story. But every time I flip this on now, raw stories in the upper left-hand corner, and raw story is saying Trump's failed explanations are now turning into another conspiracy theory. So the media has already started. They've already acted like he's guilty and he's trying to find his way out.
So you got anything else to add? I mean, I know we got 5 million things to add right now that
Well,
we can't
you know,
say
we've
over
got
the
to go
air.
down the Trump persecution. You know, first of all, I'm going to say this. Yes, I do have something to say. After Trump, it's going to be DeSantis. And after DeSantis, it's going to be Ted Cruz. And after Ted Cruz, it's going to be Josh Hawley. And when they're done with them, then they're coming for you. That's where this is going.
Jim Jordan right now is demanding that Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Merrick Baldwin for a second, the attorney general, show up in front of Congress, and he's demanding an explanation on air of why they chose to do this.
They won't do it.
No, they won't. No, they won't. And that's the thing. What power does Congress have if they can't demand federal employees to show up and explain themselves?
The J6 committee, Peter Navarro, Leg
but,
Irons.
But they were able to do it to civilians, but they won't do it to their own employees. How interesting.
Well, that's my point. The point is they'll use Congress to go after their political enemies, but they will not use it to enforce the rule of law on their own.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
That's the age we live in. All right, let's get into some more definitions, because these definitions are going to matter, because these are the words that they're using already. All right, things that can be used against Trump: treason. The federal crime is defined in the Constitution as either levying war against the United States or adhering to its enemies and carries a sentence of death or imprisonment and fine. Three key elements are necessary for an offense to constitute treason: an obligation of allegiance to the legal order, and intent and action to violate that obligation. Treason is a breach of allegiance and of the faithful support of citizens, owes to the sovereignty which within he lives. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. How many different people from within Trump's own administration have turned on that man? More than two. Sedition. Sedition is the overt conduct, such as speech and organization, that tends toward rebellion against the establishment order. Sedition often includes subversion of a constitution and incitement of discontent toward or insurrection against established authority. While the U.S. still criminalizes sedition in 18 U.S.C. 2384, the First Amendment's free speech protections limit the extent to which states and federal government can criminalize sedition. Federal charges for sedition are, as 18 U.S.C. 2384 state, seditious conspiracy. If two or more people in the U.S. conspire to overthrow, destroy, or oppose the U.S. government by force or to prevent the application of law or to take property of the U.S. contrary to its authority, they can be imprisoned for up to 20 years. Julius Rosenberg and Ethel Rosenberg were American citizens who were convicted of spying of the Soviet Union. They were both sentenced to death by electrocution, and they were both part of the espionage and sedition. Military tribunal. A quick definition for this: a military tribunal is an inquisitorial system based on charges brought by military authorities, prosecuted by a military authority, judged by military officers, and sentenced by military officers against a member of an enemy army. So whenever they talk about military tribunals a lot, I don't think this one's going to pertain to Trump, but I've already, seen people talking about it on the left. And once again, a lot of people, Dave, don't know what the hell they're talking about. 18 U.S. Code 232I. Acts of nuclear terrorism. So this is kind of a long shot, but I wanted to just go ahead and cover the definition of this law just in case it does come up. Whoever knowingly or unlawfully possesses radioactive material or possesses a device with the intent to cause death or serious bodily harm or injury, or within the intent to cause substantial damage to property or in the environment. Now, the definition is very, very long. Threats to it. Whoever, under circumstances in which the threat may be reasonably believed, threatens to commit an offense under paragraph 1 shall be punished as prescribed in subsection C whoever demands possession of or access to radioactive material, a device, or a nuclear facility by threat or by use of force shall be punished as prescribed in subsection C. And that's more or less like you're going to be punished for life and or death.
Okay. And I hear you. I've been through this with the Rosenbergs. I've talked about it, but I want to show you something here, Doug. Can you see this?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to go up to the top. And I'm not going to belabor this point because I've shown this once before on this show, but it's timely. I don't have one of the memos in this article, I don't believe, but I have enough. This is WikiLeaks. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton ordered former FBI director and current special counsel, this is when the Russian collusion delusion was going on, Robert Mueller, to deliver a sample of stolen highly enriched uranium to Russia in 2009 when she was the director of the State Department. Now, let me just say this. This story, not this deep, but the story of Clinton and uranium, and this was the Bundy Ranch deal. This is part of what that conflict was about. This was broken by the New York Times, not Dave Hodges. I picked up on it on day one, and boom, I went right for the Bundy Ranch situation. I said, that's what this is about. Look at here, right here. WikiLeaks obtained this document right here. And it says right here, Embassy Moscow requested alert, appropriate level, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't think I have it in this article, but I retrieved another memo from Russia called the Rosatov memo. And it too says, we received highly enriched uranium from Robert Mueller on behalf of Hillary Clinton. And stay with me on this, folks, right here. Okay, this was WikiLeaks got, that was a cable that they got. But let's scroll down here a little bit more here. Remember right here, I said the New York Times was the original source. They didn't go as far. And I referenced Ethel Rosenberg that you just brought up. And then we come down to here. YouTube took my video down on this. State Department memo. Okay. Now, unfortunately, I don't think I have the Rostov memo here from Russia. I have it in a later article because I got it later. But right here, this is the description of what happened. This is what here, what happened exactly in detail, linking Hillary Clinton. And you can see here, I highlighted Robert Mueller right here, right here. Okay. This is all in this document from the State Department. And coming down to here, okay, here are the specifics of the transfer paperwork right here. Okay. And remember, I have a Russian memo too that gets into this. Doug, here's my point. Okay. So I won't belabor this any longer. Here, let me take off screen share and I'll bring us back here to full. Okay. The point is this, that's treason. Highly enriched uranium goes for nuclear weapons. She was the Secretary of State when she did this. We have multiple sources. We've got the intercepted cable that WikiLeaks got. We've got the State Department memo I just showed you. And there's the Rosatov memo. And the New York Times broke the story until they had a holy shit moment and says, oh, I didn't know we had it. We got to stop this story right now. They only would go so far with it. They thought they were just following uranium. What's she up to? And they didn't realize it was to Russia with love. So, Doug, there's your case for treason. There are no statute of limitations on treason. Hillary Clinton could still be charged with treason and receive the same fate as Ethel Rosenberg, in my humble opinion. What say you?
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. She used that to enrich herself and the Clinton Foundation. And shortly thereafter, it was whenever... after that material had manifested itself into Russia, that Bill Clinton flew over to Moscow and was paid $500,000 for a 30-minute speech at a college. I don't know about you. I'm fairly certain that I am more entertaining and enlightening than Bill Clinton. And I will do that for half the money. It's this
I
is
don't
what
know.
We
He might have been talking about how to enjoy a lap dance.
Oh God. You know,
I mean, we're talking Bill Clinton now.
These people are so sick. They're so demented. They're so sick. And then they're constantly pitting us against one another. And then occasionally, Dave, while we're busy fighting against the Democrats and the Republicans are pointing fingers at each other, you know, trying to see who can stab Julius Caesar in the back the hardest, we have little cherries like this that happen, the Patriot Act. So for those of you who don't know, I want to give you a summed up version of the Patriot Act and why it pertains to what's going to be happening next with this government and how it can be used. So this actually comes from the ACLU, all right? And you'll hear some terms in here about other protests and other institutions that they're talking about. And this was actually like in their defense of Democratic protests at this point in time, but it really can be used for anybody. So become familiar with the Patriot Act, but I'm going to go over some things that I think actually pertain to this case.
Okay.
Seizure of assets, section 806. So section 806 of the act could result in the civil seizure of their assets without a prior hearing and without them being the person that is being considered to be a terrorist, without them ever being convicted of a crime. It is by far the most significant change of which political organizations need to be aware. Section 806 amended the civil asset forfeiture statute to authorize the government to seize and forfeit all assets, foreign or domestic, of any individual, entity, or organization engaged in planning or perpetrating any act of domestic or international terrorism against the United States or their property, and all assets, foreign and domestic, affording any person a source of influence over any such entity or organization, or acquired or maintained by any person with the intent and for the purpose of supporting, planning, conducting, or concealing an act of domestic or international terrorism against the United States, citizens or residents of the United States, or their property derived from, involved in, or used or intended to be used to commit any act of domestic or international terrorism against the United States, citizens or residents or their property. The civil asset forfeiture power of the United States government is awesome. That's their word, awesome. The government can seize and or freeze the assets on the mere assertion that there is probable cause to believe that the assets were involved in domestic terrorism. The assets are seized before a person is given a hearing and without notice. In order to permanently forfeit the assets, the government must go before a court, but a civil hearing, and the government is only required to prove that the assets were involved in terrorism by preponderance of evidence.
What was the section number of this?
806. Because it is a civil proceeding, a person is not entitled to be represented by an attorney at public expense if they cannot afford to pay an attorney. So I want to get into this real quick because you're about to hear why I'm going over this. The time between seizure and forfeiture can sometimes be months. Meanwhile, organizations or individuals whose assets are seized are forced to make do without the assets. Only the most financially flush nonprofit organizations would be able to successfully defend themselves against government forfeiture. In short, without the full due process afforded in criminal cases, the U.S. government can bankrupt political organizations it asserts are involved in domestic terrorism.
There you go.
Last part, and then I'll give it back to you. Single jurisdiction search warrants, section 219. This section of the U.S. Patriot Act amends Rule 41A of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure to authorize the government to go before a single federal magistrate judge in any judicial district in which activities relating to the terrorism may have occurred, exactly like what happened in Mar-a-Lago. Exactly. To obtain a warrant to search a property or a person within or outside the district. This means that the government could go to a single judge to get a warrant to search the property or person of whatever activists or protests in New York, Chicago, or California, or wherever else the protesters are from. Now, that's talking about a specific case. Just insert Donald Trump. If the government chose to go before a magistrate in New York, a person in California who wished to seek to have the warrant squashed because he or she believed it was invalid would actually have to go and appear before the court that issued the warrant. This is why this would be a daunting task for most Americans. So since the passage of the Patriot Act, two other new laws have passed to implicate domestic terrorism. Taxpayer information, 26 USCA section 6103, requires the Secretary of the Internal Revenue Service to provide taxpayer information to the appropriate federal law enforcement agency responsible for investigating or responding to the terrorist incident. If abused, this provision could be used by law enforcement to gain access to confidential taxpayer information of political protesters. So let me throw it in there to you.
Well, read that statute again.
Okay. Taxpayer information, 26 USCA section 6103, requires the Secretary of the Internal Revenue Service to provide taxpayer information to the appropriate federal law enforcement agency responsible for investigating or responding to the terrorist incident, FBI. If abused, this provision could be used by law enforcement, FBI, and IRS to gain access to confidential taxpayer information of political protesters. Before Mar-a-Lago's raid, Congress announced that they had been granted the access and approval to gain Trump's prior tax information.
Yes, that's right.
And then the warrant by a single judge without asking anybody. So probably, you know, somewhere along a FISA court, this happened. We know for a fact that the judge who should have recused himself from this was a man who had recently been a lyawyer for Jeffrey Epstein's Ghislaine Maxwell and another associate that were being charged for the smuggling of children. That man issued the warrant. Now, we know for other circumstances, supposedly Trump was coming after anybody that had to do anything with Epstein, even though we know Trump rode on Epstein's plane a couple times, supposedly just to go from point A to point B. All right, we'll just leave it at that. I don't know anything else about it, and you can make of it what you want. I don't like it, but make of it what you want. But what I have given to you, I believe, is how you set up Donald Trump to ban him from being able to become a president again, or to go along the same route as a Ron DeSantis if he chose to go up against the establishment and run for president as well. And I believe whatever they found in Mar-a-Lago is what they're going to use, along with the tax information.
You mean what they planted in Mar-a-Lago and how they'll redefine presidential discretion on declassification.
Yeah. And more people from Trump's prior administration will come out and speak out against Trump.
Like Bill Barr. Yeah. Mr. Randy Weaver, executioner, defender. Yeah, that's true. Does the NDAA enter into this?
It can.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
because when you were reading this U.S. Where is it? Section 806. Mm-hmm. It sounded a lot like, you know, they allow hearsay evidence. You're not entitled to a lawyer. They can decide whether you have one or not. It sounded a lot like the NDAA.
Yeah, it just really depends on how deep they want to go. I think they're going to try and pull out a Russia connection. That's what I think they're going to do. They're going to try and pull out a Russia connection, and they're going to try and implicate Trump somewhere along the way with all this.
Well, I'm going to go conspiratorial on you because I said the same thing. When Trump was running, I actually made the comment on a radio show I was being interviewed on. They said, what do you think one of the advantages of Donald Trump being elected? And this is actually a guy who was from the New York Times, who got a hold of me. He ended up not publishing the interview because he said to me at the end of the interview, "Are you still advocating for violence if Trump loses?" And I said, "You SOB, I've recorded every word because you called my Skype number. I will sue you into hell if you print that." And he never went with the article. But he actually said that to me. And I have to tell you, I answered his question this way about Trump getting elected. I said, you know, call me conspiracy theorist, but there is a decided effort to take down America, to have a new world order, a dictatorship, if you will. And I said, I want nothing to do with it. And I think that Trump and Putin could combine together to stop it from happening because they're going to make China the world policeman. And his comment was very derogatory and very sarcastic. I'm going to go back to that now. Ukraine, right now, Ukraine is made up on one side is NATO, the European nations, Canada, U.S., digital currency, enslavement by social credit with digital currency that can turn on and off your money if they don't like what you do or they like what you do. On the other side, Russia and China, and I think China is going along to get along because their economy is in trouble. They've gone gold-backed currency, and they want to compete with the dollar's world reserve currency. But Latin America, a lot of Africa, India, they're going along with gold-backed. They may not like what Russia did in Ukraine, but they don't want anything to do with digital. So when you look at this, the Ukraine war right now is a war between digital and a war between gold-backed. And I said to that New York Times reporter, I really see a benefit of Trump and Putin forming an allegiance against this. Putin hates the New World Order. Trump hates the New World Order. And I think we're right back to square one, Doug. This is a repeat of this theme of the Russian collusion delusion, only now they may have a little bigger case to pursue. They want to keep Russia and they want to keep Putin and Trump apart because that would destroy what the World Economic Forum is setting in motion. Now, let me just say this real quick. You know, I went through this tonight with a couple family members. How is this thing organized? I said at the top of the pyramid of world power are the international banks. Their show child is the Bank of International Settlements. The Rothschilds are part of it, but they're only one of four families that are a big part of it. Okay, after that, the World Economic Forum, the IMF, the World Bank, the World Health Organization and the UN are all their little minions that carry out their programs, and they saturate deep state interests inside countries like the United States. Every Western nation has a deep state, and they're bribed. They reach some kind of covenant agreement with them, and they betray their country, all of Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Barack Obama, fundamentally transform America Biden, you know, who's carrying out Obama's wishes from 2009. Now, Doug, when you look at this, that's the hierarchy of power. And so what we're looking at right now is Trump and Putin joining together would circumvent this above the deep state level, and they could go after the deep states in their own country. I think Putin's already purged. Trump would have to purge about probably fire 90% of all federal employees to get this done. And I'm hopeful that it happens. You know, I think Putin's despicable, but would you like to live under digital currency? You want the Chinese patrolling your streets as they prepare to exterminate you? All of the threats of Wei Fang and his national security memo to the CCP that I've covered. You know, I'll tell you, you got to, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Putin was trained by Klaus Schwab, and he broke away, said, "To hell with you. We're not doing what you want." And I'd rather align with him than I would Klaus Schwab. But you know what? I'm not thrilled about Putin either. I don't trust Putin. Because one day, let's say that Putin and Trump throw off the world New World Order. They put them on trial. They put them in camps. They do Nuremberg trials. Okay. Still, one day, we're going to have to fight Russia because that's who Putin is. Putin, at the fundamental sense, is still our enemy. But sometimes, you know, you got to use your enemy to escape a bigger enemy.
Well, I mean, just recently, Harari just came out and said that we don't need half of the world's population.
That's why they destroyed the Georgia Guidestone, so no one would look at it and make any connections. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Calling for a 90% reduction in population. Do you know how many world leaders have said we need a 90% reduction in human population? A
too
lot
many.
Of them. A
Yeah.
lot of them.
Yeah.
Henry Kissinger called us useless eaters.
Yeah, and so did Adolf Hitler and
I know.
Goering.
I know.
Yeah, they said the same thing about the Jews.
You know, I was going to say this, and then I want to turn it back over to you. We're going to have to do a future show on FEMA camps, because that's where this is headed for Trump supporters. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, and let me just describe this to people. I got really big into researching Nazi Germany because yeah. Most people don't understand that Nazi Germany literally started its power grab with its federal law enforcement. So being that I was in federal law enforcement for 10 years, it really caught my eye when I started to study it. And also being that I was a prior correctional officer and, you know, everything happening with the concentration camps and death camps. So I do see too many similarities, Dave. I see too many similarities. And hey, man, I'll say it as it is. I see too many people willfully going along with this because, well, I don't want to speak out and I don't want to get in trouble. And I like my pension and I like my retirement and my cushy government job. I'm working 4 10-hour days a week. I like my take home. I like my badge, my gun, and being left alone. And you know what? That's fine. I did it for 10 years. But there's eventually going to come a point in time where you're going to have to cross this threshold called morality and ethics. And you either agree to stay with a government who is literally persecuting its own citizens and then be caught up in that, or you come out of that, as Jesus tells us, you come out of that. You join the rest of us. Take the chance. There's other things you can do. Dave, I'm telling you right now, I would rather go work as a freaking evening restacker at Tractor Supply than go back to work for this government. And when I left this government, I was making $10,000 a month. You know, I made a lot of money working for the government, quite a lot of money. And it would have only increased every couple of years. So, you know, I understand that there is a need and want for people to stay. The government's easy to work at, but it's so easy to be corrupted at over that money. And there are other things out there than money. And, you know, in law enforcement, I got paid about as much as you're going to get to be paid unless you're, you know, in a higher bracketed 1811 position, which is special agents positions. But man, there's other stuff you can do. And I see what's happening with the FBI, and I think it's despicable. I think the Department of Justice is a complete disgrace. They're instigating a potential civil conflict, which means civil war, because the conflict comes before the war. And we may already be in the conflict.
We are. You know, we are in the
we
conflict.
We may already just say that we're in it, right? But
when they arrested Roger Stone and Peter Navarro, we're in the conflict.
Well, Dave, they're not slowing down. That's the thing to pay attention to. The government's not slowing down at all. They're going to hire 87,000 more IRS agents. And
yeah.
Some of them are going to get to go through a special response training and sniper training. For what reason?
I want to cover that. I want to cover that in our next show, Doug.
Yeah.
We don't have time to develop that tonight. But folks, this is we're looking. I wrote for years on FEMA camps, and I just said, why would they have all this legislation if somehow, some way, someday they didn't think they were going to have to act on it? And it's all there. And Doug and I will do a show, and we'll come out with one item at a time to show you the FEMA camps. Folks, it's ubiquitous. Also, too, they even have the permission to fire on what they call rioters. You could be in a peaceful protest, and they can gun you down with snipers.
Operation and Garden Plot.
There you go, exactly. And it was actually put into Army protocols in 2014. And I believe we did it because the CIA hired contracted snipers to kill Russian-friendly government rulers in Ukraine to make that regime change. I actually wrote an article about it called Snipers on the Roof. You can look that up on the commonsenseshow.com. But this is all going to come to America, folks. There's a big FEMA camp document out there, big FEMA camp, and it comes out of the Army. And they have the details on how you march people to lunch, you know, what you're going to feed them, what the barracks are going to be like, what they're going to do during the day. And there's one thing they left out, Doug. When people die, how do they dispose of the bodies? They didn't say anything about death because they don't dare put it into print.
Well, in World War II, when people started to die, the living dug the mass grave, and then they pushed the dead bodies in. And typically, those with the shovels in their hands got the last bullet. So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what history says will happen.
Well, it's just like the assassination of Trump. When you follow the assassination of a major political figure, you go through certain protocols. One, they tried to defame him with sex scandals. They've already been down that road. Then they try to trip him up legally and politically as many times. And they've done this since he's been in office. There's been six things they've come after him for. And basically three impeachments. I count the Russian collusion delusion as an impeachment trial. So they had three impeachments. And that's all failed. And I'm telling you, if this fails, they're going to kill him. That's my humble opinion. That's what history teaches. So you FBI people watching this video, okay, first of all, go get a real job, turn in your badge and recover your humanity. But secondly, I'd say to you is this, I'm just quoting history. I don't know of any plans to kill him. I'm just telling you, this is what history says is going to happen. Got a couple minutes left. Do you want to say something in conclusion?
Train, prep, and pray. You know, the prep. And I, you know, we say it all the time, and I want to address something. We have to say theoretical and hypothetical all the time.
Right.
We talk about certain things because you literally don't have a free speech anymore.
No,
we can't come out on YouTube and say this. You know, Dave, if we put this on YouTube and we weren't banned, we'd probably get 1 million views on this. Just like how I get shadow banned way too bad on YouTube. And almost everything that I do, which is historically based information, is demonetized. You get demonetized on YouTube all the time. They're always attacking anybody who talks about the truth. Understand, eventually, we won't have this platform. So by helping support what Dave does and what I do, helps us to bring more of this information to light. And, you know, good luck finding this conversation on Fox News tonight. Tucker Carlson will not talk about what we talk about.
He's not allowed to.
He's not. Not that he wouldn't. Not that that man wouldn't. But Tucker's paid a lot of money not to say that, too.
Yeah, well, he knows where his boundaries are. I think he went too far last week with regard to how he attacked this administration and the FBI. And I think they gave him a week off because of it.
Yeah. Probably.
And also, too, let me tell you this. You want a real conspiracy theory? Mar-a-Lago was known ahead of time. Let's put Tucker Carlson out of play so he doesn't inflame more people than Hannity can inflame. And I think that's what they did. It's phenomenal. In the brief time we have left, tell people how they can follow you besides the Doug and Dave Intel Report.
Hey, so for one thing, the Doug and Dave Intel Report is on thecommonsenseshow.com TV. We're also on Heroes Nation, but my show, American Vindicta, is on Heroes Nation app, Rumble, YouTube, gsradio.net, KYH, 5:40 a.m., and that's from 4 to 5 Mountain Time, GS Radio, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Most of the stuff that I do is going to be on YouTube now, and catch me there.
Yeah, well, good luck with YouTube. Yeah, you said our venues won't be here a whole lot longer. I agree with you. The commonsenseshow.tv, though, I own the forum. Mm-hmm. So they would have to take direct action against all free speech for that to happen. So we'll kind of be the last guy standing, is what I would say. But folks, I don't have pleasure bringing this to you. I'd much rather be in the weight room right now trying to keep my body from aging faster than it is. But we're here because God's called us to be here, and that's honestly what I believe. Doug, we're out of time. The Doug and Dave Intel Report, signing off. Say your prayers. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, a Bible, and a constitution for Reconstruction. We'll see you back here next time. God bless.